Good morning. This is First Things, brought to you by Jackson's First Presbyterian Church. The minister of the First Presbyterian Church is Dr. Ligon Duncan. Stay tuned for First Things. Here with First Things is Dr. Ligon Duncan.
Thank you, Bill Wyman, and Merry Christmas to all. And Merry Christmas to you, Derek Thomas. How are you this morning?
I'm very well. The words Nadolig Llawen come to mind.
Ah, the mellifluous Welsh
yes.
Greeting of it. And does it mean Merry Christmas, or does it mean Happy Christmas?
Happy.
Or does it mean, it means Happy Christmas. Happy. Well, and Happy Christmas to Ronnie Crudup, a dear friend. How are you this
Merry
morning,
Christmas
Ronnie?
Merry Christmas to you,
Ligon. Good.
And Derek, to you as well. It's great to be here with
Thanks
you.
For being with us today. And we're going to get right into talking with you, but before we do, I want to say a couple of things to the folks in the listening audience. One, Derek, welcome back. The last few times we've met, you've been off in the wild blue yonder with a very busy schedule, but a number of blessed opportunities to minister here and there with friends in the United States and Canada and elsewhere throughout the fall, and we're looking forward to a wonderful 2006 together. But I do want to mention this month already, probably there are a lot of folks in the listening audience that have already gone to see The Chronicles of Narnia. And it's of course a movie production by Walt Disney and Walden Media of C.S. Lewis's very famous book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And if things go well on this, I understand the plan is for Walt Disney and Walden Media to do all, what is it, 7 of the books in movie form. And so I hope folks take advantage of that if you haven't seen it already, and go out and check out The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis in movie form. I also want to mention that next month, our friend Al Mohler, the president of Southern Baptist Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, is going to be speaking at the Mid-South Men's Rally here at First Presbyterian Church on Friday, January the 27th. This is a meeting that is open to everybody in the area. Jim Baird, my predecessor, really started the men's rally, and his vision was for it to be a blessing to Christian men from all over this region. That's hence the name, Mid-South Men's Rally. Jim had a heart for men. He felt that, not that he didn't have a heart for Christian women, but he felt that, look, when you look out in the churches today, you'll see lots of faithful Christian women. You'll see fewer faithful Christian men. And he wanted to invest himself in building up Christian men. And so one of the focuses of our men's rally typically has been challenging men in the area of being Christian men, being family leaders, being leaders in the home, in the church, in the community. And oftentimes the topics will be right along the line of encouraging men just in that area. And Al Mohler really cares about this area. He's been speaking about the whole issue of marriage and family, singleness, etc., for several years now in the public view. And if you don't know Al Mohler, he's an amazing guy. In fact, you can go to albertmohler.com and find out more about him, or you can come to First Pres website at fpcjackson.org and find out more about the men's rally. But on the last Friday night in January, we'll be gathering here at First Presbyterian Church, and Al will be speaking. And I'd encourage you to come. This is not just for us. We've had folks from Pine Lake and First Baptist and Colonial Heights and other churches asking, hey, can we come along? And the answer is yes. In fact, I'll tell you something that probably a lot of you don't know. The first Mid-South Men's Rally sponsored by First Presbyterian Church, I think, was not held at First Presbyterian Church. I think it was held at First Baptist. If it wasn't the first, it was one of the first, where they had R.C. Sproul and Steve Brown and some folks, and I think they felt like they needed a bigger sanctuary than we had at First Pres. So it was held at First Baptist. So we encourage folks from other churches to come and use it as follow-up. We want it to bless your church. We're not trying to swipe members. We're trying to encourage other local churches. So men's rally. Let me say one other thing. We'll say more about it in the spring, or in the midwinter, I should say, in January and February. But this year in Jackson, for the first time ever, there's going to be a Philadelphia conference on Reformed theology held in Jackson at Trinity Presbyterian Church. And this is a conference started by Dr. Jim Boyce over 35 years ago. It's the longest running national Reformed conference in the United States, and there's going to be one held in Jackson. And there are only four locations in the United States next year. Jackson will be one of them. It's Philadelphia, Phoenix,
Grand Rapids,
and Jackson. So we're excited about that, and there's some great speakers coming. I'll tell you about that later. But again, everybody's invited, whether you know, no matter what church you're from, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. The other thing I want to say real quickly is Mark Dever's book, Overviewing the New Testament, called The Message of the New Testament, is out, and it is superb. And we'll say more about that next time, but we've only got a few minutes today, and I want to spend all of it with Ronnie Crudup. Ronnie Crudup, for those of you who don't know, and there are probably only a few of you who don't know, is the senior pastor of the New Horizon Church in Jackson. And you've been at New Horizon for a long time, Ronnie.
How long? I'm a founding pastor since 1987.
So for 20 years now, basically, you have been at New Horizon Church. And as you say, you are the founding pastor. Ronnie, you are also a bishop for an affiliation, a fellowship of churches. Tell us about that association of churches.
I'm actually the regional bishop for the Fellowship of International Churches, which is a small denomination. My responsibility is for Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, and Tennessee.
Wow.
So it's a lot of work.
Wow. And you've been in that role for a couple of years or more?
Been in that role for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, well, we'll explore that later, too. But I first met Ronnie when New Horizon Church was New Horizon Baptist Church, I think.
That is correct. The church was founded as New Horizon Baptist Church because we originally come out of Baptist roots.
Were you affiliated with one of the National Baptists or Missionary Baptists?
Originally, we would have been Southern affiliated with the National Baptists or Missionary Baptists, as it would be called. But actually, when we founded New Horizon Church, even though we were Baptists in our name, we were kind of non-aligned, actually, at that time. And in 1988, the church decided that we had a historic issue we needed to deal with of exactly who were we.
Yeah.
And out of that, the congregation voted to actually delete Baptist from our name, not because we were anti-Baptist,
right,
but because we felt, in a sense, just New Horizon Church better described who we were
now,
at that point.
Do you still practice believer's baptism? Is that the...
Oh, yeah.
Is that the...
Yeah,
that's
so,
the
so that, there are some of the...
So if there's somebody out there wondering, oh, no, they've gone back on that, then they'll know, no, you practice believer's baptism and such.
That's absolutely right, and in fact... even though we're elder-led, so not a congregational voting on that side of it, but believer's baptism would be something that we would practice. And also, even in the bishopric that I'm in, all of those churches would be independent, kind of self-autonomous, who actually, like Baptist churches, join a group or an association.
Right.
So there are some of those things.
And do you do cooperative ministry together, like missions and evangelism and stuff, through that affiliation
of
churches?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
We do. We do all of those things. And so we're a very small group that is striving to grow. And so it's been real exciting to be a part of it.
And are you alike doctrinally? Is that what brought the group together? Do you have a shared set of doctrinal commitments that are distinct to you that sort of drew this body of folks together?
Interesting enough, most of the folks that would be Reformed theologically. Actually, the thing, though, that drew most people together was actually a concern for consecrated living. In the midst of these times,
wow,
and biblocentric preaching.
Now, there's a history of those kinds of concerns. I think in all of our churches, very frankly, African American, Caucasian American. Over the last 100 years, there have been groups of folks that have just banded together and say, "Man, we're getting beat up on this in the church, left and right. We need to do something about it." So this association of folks is concerned for that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that is one of the big things that brought us together. And so as a part of that, because of everybody's concern, and the interesting thing about our little denominational group, and interesting enough, Ligon, they don't necessarily even like to use that word denomination.
Right.
They really prefer the word fellowship in terms of that, is that we're also very diverse in that even our bishops actually are Asians, white Americans, African Americans, and people who intentionally reach out internationally.
So multicultural in the best sense of that word.
Right. Yeah. So there's a lot of diversity there.
That's great. Now, New Horizon Church, Do you have a web address that if people wanted to find out what time services were and how to get there?
We do. They could go to our website, of course, at www.newhorizonministries.com.
Okay, so you got to have ministries on the end.
Horizon Ministries.com.
And that would get them,
that'd get them to the website.
When service times and how to get there and things like that.
That's correct.
I will say that again several times during the program. How about a phone number for contact?
601-371-1427. The 601-371-1427.
Now, Ronnie, when we first met, it was through Gordon Reed, I think. You already had contacts with Reformed Seminary before I did, actually. But Gordon Reed, I think, was the one who introduced us to one another.
He did. Of course, I entered Reformed Theological Seminary in 1982, desiring a good theological education. And interesting enough, the person who was the first African-American to actually to be a student at Reformed Theological Seminary, Emmett Cornelius, is the person that introduced me to the school. And so from 82 to 85, I was a student there at RTS and loved that experience, and I got a Master's of Divinity from there. And then subsequent to that, we were doing some ministry. Had the privilege of meeting Cobby Ware at first through that, and then Gordon Reed, and through that, our churches decided, won't we do some things together?
Yeah, and one of the things was an Easter service that ended up on the front page of the Clarion Ledger.
Yeah, it was historic, which I guess in some sense is a little sad to think about that. We were just trying to reach across, you know, various lines and do some good ministry, and for me personally, see our people grow.
Yeah,
in that experience, and of course now years later, it has been a marvelous and wonderful experience that still continues.
One thing I want to stress about that too, because it struck me. I think one of the shames of the last 40 or 50 years of our history here in Mississippi, and I don't mean shame in the sense of sort of bad on you, although we could probably pass plenty of that around, but one of the shames in the sense of, boy, something we missed out on is in this increasingly anti-Bible, anti-Christian world, two of the groups of Christians who love the Bible, love Christ, love the gospel more than anybody else around weren't talking with one another and working together. And that was one of the neat things about seeing that group together worshiping back in 1990, whatever that was, when that was on the front page of the newspaper, was here folks that all love Jesus and love the Bible and love the gospel and want to bring people to Christ and want to grow in grace, and they're from different backgrounds and they got different skin color, but they are all followers of the same common Lord. And it was a beautiful thing to see. And it also struck me, but here were people, when the rap was often that the only people that are really concerned about unity and racial harmony and such are liberals, and they're sort of left wing pagan secular atheistic Marxist thinkers. Well, here were all these conservative Christians together. You know, they're evangelical Bible believing Christians, and they were together, and that was a real blessing to my soul. And then just to learn from your people, we had several discussions, if you'll remember, where your people would get together and sit down and talk with us and just talk about how you look at the world and how you do leadership, and it was great. It was a great learning experience for
me. Well, one of the things that we came out of that with is we found out that we had more in common, actually, than we differed on things. And it is sad that, of course, in this country, that skin color has separated us so much. But as you say, it has been a wonderful experience for us. And interesting enough, that experience predates Mission Mississippi by a year.
Yeah, it does.
And so Mission Mississippi kind of also followed that.
Yeah.
But it has definitely been a great growth experience for us, and it's been beautiful.
Your article in the newspaper, by the way, several months ago, was excellent on this. You chart out some of these things. And I've used your quote, actually, in one of my sermons. I don't know whether anybody's reported that back to you, but your quote, let me see if I can get it right now. You said, our people often say that the Lord may not always come when you want him, but he's always on time.
That's
is, that something like that? That, right?
That is,
I mean,
exactly
I love
it.
That, man.
Yeah.
So good.
That is a statement I've heard actually all of my life, that the older people would say that he may not come when you want, but he's always on time.
That so. That is so universally applicable to Christian experience. I just can't tell you how. But you'll remember me, Derek, using that in a sermon, and I did give you credit. I said, Ronnie Crudup said this in the newspaper, and I'm going to use it because it was so good. Ronnie, you have been now at this church for about 20 years. Tell us how you got into the ministry and how you came to Christ.
I'm originally from here in Jackson, Mississippi, and come from I would describe now probably as a nominal Christian experience. I mean, like everybody from the South, we went to church. But at the same time, my family was involved in some things that you might even say were a little antithetical to the faith. That was kind of how they made their living. And so interesting, growing up in that kind of setting, going to church and all of those things.
Did you grow up in a Baptist church or some
church? I grew up in a Baptist church, a little small Baptist church here in town. And so, you know, knew the traditions, all of those things like that. But interesting enough, really had no real strong orientation to the faith. Now, with that, though, actually gave my life to Christ when I was 12 years old. At an old revival meeting where they would have expected you to sit on what we would have called the mourner's bench and have an experience. But I actually made a decision of the wheel and decided to invite Christ in my life. And that was a legitimate experience. But because I did not grow up in a setting where there was a lot of help, educational training, and all of those things, I kind of actually, if you will, slid back from some of that. And it was when I was... actually, after I had gotten married, that I was really challenged with the gospel again and came back, if you will, to faith. And I tell folks my experience is the Lord never left me because there are some great experiences along the way where the Lord really just spoke to my heart, brought things to my mind that really told me, you know, he's there, that it is really about you. But my wife comes from a strong Christian background. Her father is a minister and a pastor. And really coming into her family just really challenged me as to where I was. And through that, one day on the back porch of my house, really rededicated my life to Christ. And it's been a marvelous thing since then. A couple of years later than that, the Lord called me into ministry, and here I am.
Now, were you thinking about ministry right away after coming back to that solid experience of being back in the fold?
Absolutely not. Yeah. Even though I've got Christian heritage in that, because my mother's father actually was a preacher. My grandfather actually was a world evangelist. My grandfather spoke 8 languages fluently, actually was born in Liberia as people immigrated to the United States. But he spoke 8 languages fluently, preached around the world. And it's pretty significant for a black man now. Preached around the world, you know, 4 times in terms of crusading. He was an evangelist. Came to Mississippi to stay 2 weeks and stayed 5 years. Married my grandmother.
Wow.
Had 1 child, which was my mother. The relationship didn't last. And, of course, they divorced. And but he would come in here from time to time. And so strong heritage on that side of it. But on the other side of it, once again, definitely would not have thought I would be a preacher at all. What didn't really have a fondness, if you really want to be honest about it, about preachers, because I didn't see a lot, didn't have a lot of good examples in terms of that. So this was, for me, a real supernatural experience.
Who has been influential in your life? You obviously mentioned some significant members of your family. But are there others, especially in shaping what the ministry, what a gospel preacher looks like, who have influenced you the most?
Well, I mentioned a little earlier, Emmett Cornelius was somebody early on that I had a great deal of respect for. in that Emmett was kind of non-traditional, and that's kind of part of my call has always been because of where I come from. And he was a great influence. A guy by the name of Dr. Quick, actually, who was a neighbor of mine, who spent a lot of time with me and kind of mentored me early on in a lot of the things that has to do with the faith. And he's dead and gone on to heaven now. But he was somebody who was very, very instrumental along the way. And my father-in-law, Reverend H.T. Frazier, my wife's father, has been used greatly in my life to speak to my heart and give me some good models for ministry.
Tell us a little bit about your philosophy of preaching. You obviously went to Reformed Seminary, maybe something you learned there, but obviously you've got patterns of styles of preaching from your background and your father-in-law. Have you molded and shaped your own sort of philosophy of preaching?
I have, and interesting enough, when I went to Reform, I was actually already pastoring. Mm-hmm. My experience was, of course, being called into ministry. Mm-hmm. And actually started pastoring in the first church I pastored, a little Baptist church in 1979, and felt like out of that experience I needed more training, and so that's how I ended up at Reformed. So you're right, I was preaching and had some thoughts about that. Once again, my feeling was that really needed to be a strong emphasis on the Scripture. I was very bibliocentric. Growing up the way I did, seeing a lot of tradition that didn't yield a lot of fruit. For me, the issue was, listen, this Bible says something to us. And what is this faith of ours if we really don't have a real guidebook that is relevant? And so, I hold the Scripture in very, very high esteem. It is God's Word for me. And I prepare myself accordingly. And, of course, one of the things I think that most people would say would mark my ministry is that I'm not the traditionalist, so in terms of maybe what you would hear to some degree in style of other African-American ministers, you're not going to necessarily hear it in me. Hmm. I tend to think it's still yet exciting and thought-provoking. But once again, I'm exegetical in my style of preaching because, for me, it's all about the Scripture. What does the Word of God have to say? Hmm. It is relevant for these days and times, and it gives life to people and not what Ronnie Crudup says.
Hmm. Do you preach textually, thematically? Do you preach through books of the Bible?
I do. Presently, Sunday I will finish actually a series on the book of Amos. So during the course of the year, typically I'll do a couple of books.
Now, if we were to go to the evangelical African-American congregations in the Jackson area, give us what would we hear many preachers preaching through Bible books, you think?
No, most preaching would be topical.
Yeah.
Or maybe not on to say one I won't do some topical. I'll do some topical stuff sometime.
Sure.
But pretty much everything would be dominated by topical preaching. Hmm. A lot of it would be more what that pastor kind of feels and wants to say, and may find then a text to support that. Not to denigrate anybody, but that's pretty much kind of where it is. To a great degree, a lot of that has not been the mode. To be thematic, once again, in your preaching, to preach books has not pretty much been the tradition and the pattern to do so. And that's one of those things, once again, that training does, okay? It exposes you to maybe some different styles and forms about thinking about things that before you previously would not have. And so you're not going to find a lot of people who would actually take a whole book and preach through that book, unless that person has probably some formal training.
Forgive the naivety of the question now, but is there an expectation within the African-American community that you preach in a certain style, like you break into a sort of that singing mode that some
sort of like Welshman.
Yeah, a little bit.
They call it hooping here, though.
Hooping, that's the term. We've had them at the seminary occasionally.
And the Welsh call it the hoyle.
is there some expectation culturally that you identify with that, and how do you respond to that?
It is. Once again, all of our traditions affect us, very deeply where we come from, and we tend to model what we do upon those that we have high regard for. And so it would be in the African-American experience, that coming up in the church, particularly in the Baptist church. It may be a little different in some of the other, some of the things, and whether it's in Pentecostal churches, in the African-American community or Methodist churches, would be very, very similar. Hooping or tuning would be something that would be very, very similar. In all of them. And it is something that, of course, people would expect along the way. And that was something that, for me, Derek, was very, very interesting in my early experience, because that would have been a time here in Jackson that I would have been the youngest black pastor in the city, in the among the Baptist churches, okay?
Wow.
And so, and also being a non-traditionalist to a degree. And what that basically meant is, first, I wasn't a hooper, okay? Even though I had to learn how, it just wasn't me, okay? And I'm pretty sure that some people would say, well, you just didn't do it very good, and that's the reason why, you know, it wasn't you. But I had a conviction that maybe a little bit too much emphasis was placed at the end of the message on what you were going to do as opposed to the body of the message itself. And so my emphasis has always been, my emphasis is in the body of this, and even if I don't even get to any of that, the word itself stands on its own, but most of that would be tradition.
We've got about 2.5 minutes. I cannot believe the time has flown like it has. I want to say again, we've been talking today with Pastor Ronnie Crudup, who is a graduate of Lanier High School here in Jackson, where Caroline Kelly of our congregation taught Latin for many years. He has a B.S. degree from Jackson State University. He has a Master of Divinity from Reformed Theological Seminary, and he is a bishop in the Fellowship of Churches called the
Fellowship of International Churches.
Fellowship of International Churches, and for the region, not only for Mississippi, but for Tennessee and
Arkansas, Louisiana.
And Ronnie, you are also a radio personality. You have is your program called Count It All Joy? Is that the
No, that's kind of my little thing.
That's your theme?
Yeah, my closing statement. We've done New Horizon Presents, which
New
has
Horizon
been our
Presents
radio program.
Where do you air?
We've aired on WOAD. Actually, at this particular point, we're not on air.
Okay.
Presently, we'll be going back to that. But we've aired radio here for, probably
many
been
years.
Last 20 years, actually.
Many years. And a lot of, I'm looking at this, I knew you were involved in some of these things. I had no idea how much. Amos Network, Fellowship of Hope, Jackson Servant Leadership Corps.
I have found all those things.
Yeah. And there's an academy as well. Is New Horizon
New
Academy?
Horizon Ministries Inc., which is the daughter organization of the church, a 501c3. Actually, we run an academy. We have daycare, school. We do prison ministry. We do ministry with people who have drug and alcohol backgrounds. So, for me, it's about changing community as well.
And boy, there's so much to talk about that too, because I think that's probably the first I had heard about you before I ever met you was some of these efforts that you were already leading in that regard in the 1990s. We'll have to carry this conversation on sometime, Ronnie, because this has been fascinating, and I really appreciate you coming today.
It's great to be
Tell
here.
Them again, New Horizon website is.
www.newhorizonministries.com.
And the phone number for the church is?
601-371-1427.
And your services happen when?
8 and 11 every Sunday morning, Wednesday night at 6:30.
And South Jackson?
We are located in South Jackson on South Ellis. It's Belvedere Drive, but Ellis.
So you get off of 20 and go south on Ellis, and boom, the South Side Assembly is down that way.
Yeah, you keep on south as far as you can go, and you'll see us on the left-hand side.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, folks. And, folks, thanks for listening. Have a good Lord's Day.